Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Kevin Herr and Steve Jones with The Steve Jones Show today. Steve will be joining us here in just a few minutes from the Sunbury Motors Studio. And there he is now.
I'm here. Made it. It's on time.
And there he is now. Boy. Interesting scoring game on Saturday, wasn't it?
I'll tell you right now, people across the country who don't know the scoring system are saying two things. Wow, that offense is explosive. And B, they have defensive issues.
I'll tell you, when you kept saying the score, and of course at the end it was 77-65, I have to admit, I thought the same thing that Jack Ham said during the broadcast. Are we at a basketball game? Of course, that's not what he said, but that was running through my head. He said something about you calling basketball games and the number being similar.
Yeah, I said, back in the 90s it was. No. Yeah, somebody did a couple of 36-33s and 38-33s in my lifetime in basketball.
That was 45-35 at the half.
Yeah, so
I mean, that was a lot of offense.
Oh, yeah, a lot of offense.
But when you have basically two-hand touch for the quarterback, that gives you an opportunity as a defense to score a little bit more often. And Jones, I thought, probably would have made it out of the pocket of several times where he was caught for a sack just because of his athletic ability.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about that. And Jack and I actually made mention of that a couple times he was tagged down. And tagging down would not have worked in the Paul Jones case. It just would not have. So,
remember what I said that I was looking for the most was the
the hot dog vendor, and you found it. I mean, really, well done on that.
I have to give you credit. I never
saw that guy at all, and you scoped that dude out fast.
Like, excuse me, I'll be right back.
I sat there and thought, no wonder Roger and Drew have so much confidence in you in certain areas. But I want to find out with that. I want to get the read from the fans. You know, now you've had a chance to watch, and then we'll get your impressions here in a moment. But I want to hear from the fans at 1-800-795-9565. I mean, this is essentially our post-game show here. I want to hear, what do you think? I mean, moving forward, what did you see? What did you like? What did you not like? Which quarterbacks you think ought to move forward? If you have the opportunity to talk to Bill O'Brien, like I did this afternoon early, say you're standing in my shoes, what would you tell him? 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Kevin Herr continues.
I would tell him, Jesse James looks like he is going to be an amazing tight end. A huge target at 6'7", 265. And because he's 6'7", that 260 is proportioned very, very well. Boy, he is going to be a fun target for whoever gets the quarterback job.
Yes, he is cut, no doubt about that.
And I thought all the tight ends actually looked really good. There were some good one-hand catches along the way. Seeing probably what a tenth of Coach O'Brien's offense there, you know he's going to use the tight end an awful lot, and I think he's got some good tight ends there.
Well, he does. I think that's one of the areas where he became very fortunate. An area that he was fortunate, as far as I'm concerned, is that based on some of the things that he did with the Patriots, we all know that a tight end is important in his mindset. Well, when you look at Kevin Hapley experience, Kyle Carter, who was really running with the green team in the fall until midway through when they finally made the decision, he was very much in the same boat as Deion Barnes was on defense, running with the varsity group. And then when finally you get to the point where you say, look, I'm going to redshirt the dude, Well, you know, then you put him on scout team. But then I thought Kyle Carter was fabulous on the scout team getting ready for the Ticket City Bowl against Houston. Thought he performed very, very well. And so that is, I think he, and then I, and Jesse James and Gary Gilliam. And getting Gilliam back is a huge plus, getting him back. Huge plus. So he has all of that. Let's see. We have Kevin sent me an email.
Well, you let me ask you this. Now, you mentioned the
quarterbacks. I think people should hear your emails.
Oh, come on. Okay.
Blue White Review. Oh, we just did that time. Bucknell Spring Game Review. Fine. No stadium rename at Penn State. Meta World Peace. What is the status of world peace if that happens? What does that mean? Brian Dawkins done. That's a trivial thing. Tannehill to Miami. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Wallace holdout. It's April. Leon DL. The guy just went 10 innings.
Yeah, well, strained oblique.
Who is the Major League Baseball early season surprise? Well, I'm not surprised Bobby Valentine's not getting it done, so I guess that's out. So
I don't think I was looking for that kind of a surprise.
That's okay because you know, I'm looking at the, for example, I am going, I, you know, one quick phone call later, I got two tickets to the Red Sox and Orioles on May 5th. I'm good.
Did you go to your ticket tree?
No, I just made one request, one phone call later, it was done.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you went to the ticket tree.
No, I don't go to the ticket tree. I actually go to legitimate human beings that I know can get the job done. And did. That's how it works. But I want to hear what the fans have to say. Your game, 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. Those were the Kevin topics.
Do you know who the most popular quarterback is on a football team?
Second stringer, we all know that.
The second stringer. Although, I would say, based on the 60,000 that were at Beaver Stadium on Saturday, it might go a little deeper than that because Paul Jones got a nice little ovation when he came into the ball game.
Oh, I know. I know he did. And I understand why. They hadn't seen him play in 2 years. He didn't play in last year's game.
He is fun to watch, though.
Oh, he is fun to watch. And he has a great arm. I mean, look, if there's any person that has seen him throw more passes than me outside of a coach, probably isn't any. I can tell you right now, he's a great arm. Now, when you're on scout team, your responsibility is to get them ready for the upcoming game. So you do that. So there are moments, for example, when you're tagged down in the backfield, but you want the play to continue. There are moments where you force the ball into coverage because that's what the play calls you to do. You're supposed to throw it to this spot and do. So while you're working hard getting them ready, at the same time, you end up maybe developing a bad habit or two along the way. Because they're not really teaching you a lot. You're supposed to be teaching the defense. He has done very well this spring. I think he got off to an okay start, and I think he really came on over the past 2 to 2.5 weeks. Really came on.
He looks like he's having fun, though, the more than anything else. He looks like he's really
having fun.
Well,
he and O'Brien have the same kind of sense of humor. Okay, I know PJ and I know Billy, and they both have the same sense of humor. So when you saw him, yes, slap him on the backside, well, that's the way he is. I can tell you right now in August, that's not going to happen.
It might be a little different there, yeah.
A little different, yeah.
I do like, though, I mean, you mentioned the strong arm, and it really showed to me on a couple of the passes where he's rolling out, he's actually throwing it 40, 45 yards off his back foot.
Yeah.
That's what really impressed me. I mean, granted, it wasn't the perfect pass, and it wasn't the perfect style, but that tells me that this kid has some strength in that arm, can fire the ball downfield, and if he does it, you know, does it correctly, he could be very, very, very solid.
Oh, no question. No question. I mean, look, he has the mobility. Okay? What he needs to do, though, is that on a consistent basis. And I can tell you right now, the academic part of it, I think people should feel pretty good about that. Okay, everybody hear me? Sounds to me, based on what I'm understanding, is that people should not, I don't think that's going to be as much of a concern as it had been. How about that?
Now, he was 6 of 15, 113 yards, a touchdown and an interception. Sure. But, now, apples to apples, is that indicative of what he can do, or was that partially, are some of those numbers inflated a little bit because he was, you know, because he was working with the third team most of the time?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
No, I mean, I've, okay. that's a question a lot of people are asking. Yeah.
That's a legitimate question, but no, that's indicative of what he can do. He has a great arm. He can move. Now, the question is, it happens to be, okay, do you get him in the right spots, right time, right moment? Do you get the people positioned? Do you actually know exactly what the play call is? Do you know where all 21 chess pieces are in the field besides yourself? Those are the key questions. So.
And I guess Charlie Fisher said after the game that they're in no big hurry to, you know, announce a quarterback right now.
Let's see. I'm trying to think now. Why wouldn't they want to name one now? Let's see. It's April, first game, September 1st. Yeah. I don't think since they're not playing Saturday, why bother? I know everybody would like to have it now. So, yeah, that's where we stand right now. What other things? Yeah, you sat in the booth with us, so, I mean, you listened to all our chit-chat, our mind-numbing chit-chat. You heard more than everybody else because you heard the stuff in between the commercials.
Yes, I did. No, what you have just said are a lot of the things that was running through my mind while I was watching the game. I know a lot of people were really looking closely at the quarterback position. And I know that was a focus for a lot of people. And I know, I'm sure a lot of fans came out of that game going, okay, well, that wasn't answered. And you're probably right.
Oh, nothing was answered the other day. Nothing. I can tell you that right now. Nothing happened. I mean, nothing was solved. Anything. At all. You saw 10% of what's going on. Now, after we come out of the news at the bottom of the hour, I'll have my interview with Bill O'Brien. Then we'll hear from four players. Then we're going to replay the entire Bill O'Brien press conference after the 4 o'clock, where you hear everything. Excited? I mean, I realize you want to talk about world peace.
Which world peace are you referring to?
Meta.
I refuse to call him that. I'm sorry.
Well, Ron Artest had an incident yesterday. I can tell you right now what I would do if I were David Stern. Okay. I would suspend him for every game James Harden is out plus one.
I like that idea a lot.
I think whenever a player is hurt, now the NHL did what they had to do with Rafi Torres. They had to get Brendan Shanahan had to come up with something. 25 games was appropriate for what he did because, especially in a situation like this where one team could, I mean, host's team could be out, whatever, you know. And then, of course, it leads into the next season. Okay, I totally understand that. And I think he did the right thing. In this case, here it is, still the regular season. There's still, what, 2 games left? All right, I got it. I would say that you suspend him for every game James Harden is out, plus one. Now, I looked at what he did. He slammed chest, look what I did, look what I did. I'm thinking to myself, you know, for like $8.2 million, I think you're probably, but that's okay. You know. And he does not look at James Harden. He didn't even look at him. He just hit him. He just. By the way, John L. Smith, the former head coach at Louisville and Michigan State, will be the interim head coach. 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. More talk in a moment. Your calls in a moment. And then my interview with Bill O'Brien after the news at the bottom of the hour. Great to be with you, all our good people at WKOK.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is going to make it easy to lease your next new Hyundai. You decide how much money you want to put down so the payment fits your budget. Lease the North American Car of the Year, the 2012 Hyundai Elantra, with zero down, $299 a month. With $500 down, $284 a month. And with $2,000 down, only $239 a month. The popular Hyundai Sonata can be yours for $279 per month with $2,000 down, or $329 a month with only $600 down. When Sunbury Motors Hyundai quotes lease payments, everything is included. You won't have anything added to these lease payments. Before you buy or lease any other brand, you have to look at Sunbury Motors Hyundai in Little 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburyhyundai.com. If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai.
Hello and welcome back. Great to be with you. Have news at the bottom of the hour. Then my interview with Bill O'Brien. Talk with Bill today, as a matter of fact, but the interview was done before the game. We'll also have Tony Mancuso from GoPSUSports.com. Did interviews with Justin Brown, Matt McGloin, Matt Stankavich, and Jordan Hill. We'll hear some of that. And then we'll have Bill's entire press conference after the news at 4 o'clock. We'll give everybody a full feel for what went on. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. I want to hear what the fans have to say. What do they think? Had a chance to watch it. Sure, it was vanilla in some ways. But it's still like to hear what you thought. The game eventually aired on the Big Ten Network, or you may have actually been at the game. And going forward, it's going to be a good football team. It'll take some work, but I think going forward, this is going to be a good football team. And it turned out Ohio State had their spring game on Saturday as well. I think Michigan State has theirs coming up this week. So, you know, I think the front seven, you can tell for Penn State's going to be really good, because if you're going to get Motti into that mix. Motti is going to be a part of the mix once you go forward in August. They had a lot of guys banged up. Alex Kenny didn't play. He had minor surgery. He'll be ready by August. Davon Smith, no surgery, was actually in sneakers, a little bit of a limp going forward. He'll be ready. Let's see. Jamie Van Fleet going forward? Probably not. Nope. It's a knee. It's a knee. Let's see. Ryan Kaiser talked about that actually repeatedly in the broadcast. About the fact that it's a domino effect of not having him at safety. Okay. But also, he's on special teams, and he's the holder. So Matt McGloin got a look, but you notice also Shane McGregor. The last week of the spring, Shane McGregor started to get worked in there as the holder. Important. You need that going forward. And you have to make decisions about it. You have to understand, when you can only travel 70 players, you do have to make decisions. If Shane McGregor is one of your guys, that you want him to be the holder, that means in all likelihood you would be traveling four quarterbacks. These are the little decisions that become important big decisions. So those are things that I think, you know, that you think about going forward. I think in terms of the offensive line, they gave up sacks, but you know what? I've seen enough 11 on 11s during the course of the spring besides what we saw on Saturday. And the offensive line had their moments. And also the offensive line, I think, becomes a little bit more effective when 75% of that offense is in and not 10%. How about that? That offensive line becomes even more, becomes more effective when the other parts of the offense are put in based on what I saw in the spring. But the front seven they're going against is pretty darn good. Daquan Jones, Jordan Hill, James Terry in that mix as a tackle. You go outside with Pete Massaro, Sean Stanley, Deion Barnes, Kyle Boblitz, who can play both inside and outside, C.J. Alanian. That's a good group there. And then at linebacker, Glenn Carson, Michael Yancich had a really good spring. Mike Hull, Gerald Hodges, Mike Maudy getting into the mix. Ben Klein is a good player. He's just a redshirt freshman. The front seven for Penn State is very good, and Stephon Morris had a great spring. Almost did well. Sarah's next with news at the bottom of the hour, then Bill O'Brien as we continue on WKOK and the Steve Jones Show.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Steve Jones Show. Coach O'Brien coming up here in just a few short minutes with Steve. Talking a little bit about the spring and how things have gone. Want your input as well on who your pick is for quarterback. That's the new poll. Matt McGloin, Rob Bolden, Paul Jones, or SteveJonesShow.com. So take a look at the poll sometime today. You can't now. And of course, we also invite you to visit SteveJonesShow.com or audio archives of the show anytime, any day, at your leisure. And that means if you're not listening now live, you can email your questions to OK.com, and then we'll answer them on the show. Don't forget about the Twitter feed. That is available 24/7 as well, at Steve Jones PSU. Those are some of the things that you can follow along with Steve. Again, Penn State with the spring game put up about 130 points total on the new scoring system. He got 7 points for a defensive touchdown. A turnover was worth 6. A sack was worth 4. Tackle for a loss worth 2. Forcing a 3-and-out worth 1. If you were one of the 60,000 in the stadium, you were probably working really hard at trying to figure out the scoring setup. But it helps coaches evaluate a little bit more the way their defense did and the way the offense did based on this type of a scoring scenario. At least that's my feeling on it. We'll see if Coach O'Brien talks about that. As, again, he was with Steve here earlier on in the week, and also we'll have a little bit later on Coach O'Brien from the press conference that happened after the game as well. And if you missed the blue-white game, it will re-air again tonight at 9 o'clock on the Big Ten Network. It'll also be on Tuesday at 10 a.m., Wednesday at 12:30 if you're up late at night, or early in the morning, depending on your perspective, and also again Wednesday at 9. So still a couple of more times to see the game if you missed it or just listen to it on the radio. And Steve and Jack did a couple of drop-ins, too, on the Big Ten Network during the broadcast as well. So you'll hear them on that. Again, that's tonight at 9, tomorrow at 10 a.m., Wednesday at 12:30, and then again 9 o'clock on Wednesday as well. That's all on the Big Ten Network. Lots of stuff going on this week on the Steve Jones Show. We'll have Coach Joe Susan of the Bucknell Bison on the show later on this week talking about his spring game. And we're also working on an email we got from Brian of Lewisburg about a week or so ago. He said, how about a segment on lacrosse every so often? Bucknell, Susquehanna, of course, Penn State, Lycoming all have good programs. A lot of high school teams with lacrosse programs building up. And we'll work on that a little bit here as we get into the latter part of the lacrosse season. I know a lot of
love lacrosse.
A lot of the high schools now are in their lacrosse season, so we'll work on that here as we get through, get past spring football anyway.
Yeah, very good. I like it very much. All right, now had a chance to sit down with Bill O'Brien, talked to him extensively about Kevin Hurd, and then once we got past that topic, 15, 20 seconds deep into the conversation, Then I asked him about the quarterbacks. Now, what you may be looking for in the quarterbacks may not quite be what he's looking for in the quarterbacks. I think there are certain things that are given. Arm strength, footwork, vision, things like that. So I asked him, going forward, you need to find a separator. What separates A from B from C? What might those separation points be? So I talked to him about that earlier.
It really comes down to three things. It comes down to being able to run the operation, call the play cleanly in the huddle and get us to the line of scrimmage and get us into the right play. Then it comes down to decision-making, making sure that you're out there making smart decisions for the football team on a consistent basis. And then in the passing game, it comes down to accuracy, who is the most accurate quarterback. And so far, all three guys have shown flashes of being able to do all three things. And we'll see how it goes in the blue-white game, and then we'll make our evaluation at the end of the game.
How important is trust between you, the play caller, and the quarterback that eventually wins this thing?
It's a huge part of it. That's a great question. You know, that was one of the things that really took a lot of time at New England, was the trust between Tom Brady and myself, and that's something that always takes time. You know, they're getting used to my style of coaching. I'm getting used to their style of playing, and so far it seems like it's going pretty well with all three guys, and hopefully that relationship will continue to grow throughout the rest of the spring here and then into training camp.
When you worked in college football for a long time, so you were around big numbers. But in the NFL, you do probably get used to having 53 guys around. Do you eventually want to cut this down in your mind to what is a core group? Is that the direction you'd like to head in?
Yeah. You know, one of the things I told the staff was when we get done with the blue-white game next week, we're going to meet as a staff and basically rank our players on each side of the ball and in special teams. And after that, be able to come up with our 55 to 60 core players on the football team. And then those are the guys that are going to play the most football for us in the fall. And those other guys will spend a lot of time helping those 60 guys get ready for the games. And so that's another question that we got to do a great job of evaluating and answering as we go forward here.
You want to play with a great tempo and a pace, which you've tried to replicate in practice on both sides of the ball. Have you seen signs that it's headed in that direction?
No question. These kids have really bought into what we've asked them to buy into. And you know, the practice that we had yesterday, I thought the beginning of practice when we did our no huddle and our fast pace was probably one of the better ones that we've had to this date in the spring. And so they're starting to get it, and again, that'll be a work in progress as we head into training camp, but they definitely have shown progress with the fast pace.
You know, you've been around leaders, but you can't really lead until you're sure what you're doing first. Have you seen some leaders begin to emerge that can help the coaching staff move you through the summer?
No question about it. At each position, leaders have risen up to the challenge. And so, you know, we'll talk to each one of those guys, and there's a lot of them. There's a lot of good leaders on this football team, both young players and obviously older players. So we'll talk to those guys leading into the summer, and hopefully those guys will carry us through the summer, because as coaches, we can't spend any time with these kids in the summertime. So it's going to be up to the players to have a great summer along with Coach Fitz. So it'll be interesting to have those conversations going forward with these kids.
Coach Fitz has certainly brought up a lot of conversation. For you to have him to help lead in the summer so that they're ready day one in August, for you as a head coach, what does that mean?
He's a huge part of this program. He's a guy that was one of the first guys I hired because I knew I wanted to go out there and get the best, and he's the best. He brings a bunch of enthusiasm to the program, but he also brings a lot of knowledge. And he has that knack to where he can really get to know these kids and what makes each kid tick. So he's looking forward to having a great summer, and our team will make a lot of strides in the summertime with Coach Fitz in charge.
And for you, when you've looked at all this, you finally had a chance to get your football team on the field, which meant serious football evaluation. How valuable has this month been to you?
It's been great. You know, these guys have come to practice every day. I'll give you an example. We had a academic banquet the other night, lasted a while. Then we asked them to get up early the next morning, and every guy was there on time, ready to go. And these guys are committed. Like I've said from the day I've gotten here, These guys are high character guys that care about football, that care about school, and really are great representatives of Penn State. So it's been a good spring and fun to watch these guys grow already.
And finally, once you're done with this, and once you're done with evaluation and done with meetings, they're going to send you out on a caravan. How anxious are you to get out and meet the Penn State fans?
I'm looking forward to the caravan. I was very supportive of it, of the idea when I was hired here, and I felt like it was very, very, it was a necessary trip, because you know it's important for me to get out and meet a bunch of people, especially the alums and the lettermen in the state of Pennsylvania and the surrounding states. So I'm looking forward to it, and the people that are with me are going to get to, they're going to get a full dose of me on those bus rides, but we'll have some fun.
Thanks, Phil, appreciate your time.
They'll get a full dose, all right. It'll be good. And I think once they get the full dose of them, I think they'll appreciate them even more. So well, you get a full dose of me every day, Kev.
And I appreciate it more and more every day.
Oh, I'm sure you do. That's not what you told the people who interviewed you. Today's show is being brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance. Love them. At Market Street in Sunbury and online at purdyinsurance.com. Great to have Purdy Insurance on every Monday on the show. Difference makers all the time. The new poll, by the way, is up. You know, Kevin was anxious to get it up there. He's, when it comes to social media, he's big. In fact, I was looking online at your tweets.
When?
This morning.
Okay.
That are up on stevejonesshow.com.
And
listen to these tweets. Okay. Orange wins 13-0 a Bucknell spring game tonight at Christie. Coach Susan will have three good running backs this fall. That's fine. Very good tweet. Okay. From Beaver Stadium to Christie, spring football time for me. Okay.
I knew you wouldn't be thrilled with that one.
And then I love doing Bucknell football games, but I must admit I miss tailgating.
I do.
Does anybody care?
I knew if there was going to be one you read, that would be the one that you would have.
I mean, what
about
is next? Hot dogs, good. Who cares?
I was walking up to the stadium. It's just the smells that are there. I mean, the barbecue, the everything. You know me. Everything revolves around food.
I don't want to tailgate. I want to do the game.
Oh, I want to do both. That was my point. I want to do both.
I love doing Bucknell football games, but I must admit that I miss tailgating.
Right.
That's what you tweet the masses?
And then
they want to know more about who those three running backs are? Don't they want to know about the depth they have? Don't they want to know about the recruits coming in? About the nuts and bolts of what's going on? Whether you miss tailgating or not, I mean, outside of your inner circle, who cares?
Okay, well, first off, you're reading it backwards. That was actually the first tweet when I got to
I know, college. That's your first tweet. Right. I know it is, 3:54,
right.
Followed by 11:34, followed by 2:14 in the morning. 2:14 in the morning, you send out a tweet.
2:14 in the morning.
That's what it says.
Well, it was not that late. Listen, the reason I didn't tweet during
it
the spring game...
It says 2:14 a.m.
All right, but it wasn't then. I'm telling you right now, it wasn't then.
Well, then your Twitter's junk.
Well, that could be. But the reason that I did not tweet during the game was it was raining. I didn't want to bring my phone out in the rain.
They don't have a box?
No, I wanted to be on the sidelines because I wanted to hear the play calls. I wanted to get a full feel for the game. I wanted to see it from the side.
It's the worst place to watch the game.
Well, not when you're trying to learn, like, the players a little bit and try and find out more about each player and their personalities. And, you know, that's what I was working on the sidelines of the first half.
Don't you go to practice?
Their practice time and this show time are kind of coincide from time to time.
They practice from 3 to 5?
Well, their practice was a little early on a few of those games. And then, or a few of the spring practices. And in the fall, it's definitely right around this time.
Really? What time are they done practicing?
Well, a lot of the practices, I should say about half of them were at night, I think.
Here they have to go to class.
They did a lot of them around, I think, well, I shouldn't say a lot. I know they did several 7 to 9, I know that.
Well, then... Well, then that will work out for you.
It should have, but it didn't. It's baseball season. It's baseball season. So I was following the kid around for baseball.
So you stood in the rain.
I was doing the dad thing this year.
That's noble. Yeah, that's, you know, that's
and,
fine.
And I did. I stood in the rain for the first half.
Man, I'd have been up top going through numbers, things like that.
That's what I did in the second half.
Yeah, I'd have done that right off the top, you know. Got this handy-dandy chart that I have. I do. It's not what you saw the other day.
Oh, okay. No, he does, though. He does have a really cool chart.
That's the final product. Yeah.
Steve does not work without a spotter. That's the thing that amazed me. I have to share this. Some guys will have somebody like pointing at the roster, who made the tackle, you know, who's carrying the ball, just in case. Does not do that. Not have a spotter there. Does the whole game, watches it, the tackle, calls the running back or the quarterback or whatever, the entire game, knows, and this really long sheet that has every little piece of information typed fine in trying to figure out how in the world you get all that information in there, not only on that sheet, but on the broadcast as well.
I don't. I would be willing to tell you that I get, of all I prepare, 5 to 10%. And I probably don't even refer to those sheets probably after the second series of the game.
I also noticed that you didn't say anything about the person that helped you out with the roster either. Not a word.
What? Because you gave me your I needed the other one just in case a number got
right
in there.
Right. I gave you my roster so that you didn't have to flip back and forth.
I didn't use that either. I'm sorry. I should have given it back to you. I didn't.
I'm sitting here trying to figure out, I'm like, who was that again? Oh, yeah. Well, I finally went up and got another one anyway.
Bob Brumbaugh tells this story. He's Jack's buddy. He goes to the Michigan State game. And this was, I had done basketball in Charleston, South Carolina. Two games. Flew from Charleston to Detroit after the game on Friday. Landed about midnight, drove to Lansing, got there about 2:30 in the morning, got up, did the game. Brumbaugh, Jack's buddy, wants to sit up in the booth. So before the game, he says, man, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out who everybody is, you know. I probably should have just gone out and got him a roster. So I handed him my chart. I said, why don't you use this? I said, you know, just look at this in the pregame. It'll give you an idea who's what. He goes, oh, great, great. And Brumbaugh tells the story. He says, at the end of the game, Steve asked if he could have it back. I needed it back. We'll hear some players in a moment. Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, online at purdyinsurance.com. It's been another week where I needed insurance. We'll come back with more in a moment here at WKOK.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lot in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors, 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com.
Welcome back. Tony Mancuso, GoPSUSports.com, had a chance to talk to some of the players. Wide receiver Justin Brown was the first on Tony's list.
Justin Brown. Well, Justin, just talk about the progress the receivers have made. You're a senior. Are you happy with the group?
Yeah, very happy. You know, we still got a ways to go, but, you know, today I think we did pretty well with blocking and catching the ball and, you know, getting open and whatnot, and making it easy on the quarterback. So I think we did okay today.
What's the biggest thing you feel like you've improved on personally since the bowl game to this point?
Just, you know, concepts, you know, learning how to run coverages, you know, basically everything about being and whatnot.
Some brown. Let's start with
never want to be even on defense. Kind of because some of the words are the same, meaning and doing different things. But towards the end, you know, it was just play after play, and you were just learning so quick and being able to play faster as you went on.
Great job this spring.
Thank you.
Okay, that was with Jordan Hill. Then Tony had a chance to talk with quarterback Matt McGloin.
When you were handed the playbook for the first time, what went through your head?
I was excited at first, but I knew it was going to be a tough challenge. I'm proud of the way we've gone through this spring, learned the playbook, getting better each and every day. And I thought we did a good job out there today, maybe a little inconsistent at times. But, you know, anytime you get a new offense, then you're going to have to deal with that.
Take the fans through the progression of things from practice 1 through practice 15. How much have you improved?
Well, definitely. I mean, everybody's improved drastically. I mean, it's like I said, it's a new playbook. It's a new offense we're learning. It's like trying to learn a new foreign language is what it is. But I'm real proud of the way everybody's handled it so far, and we have come a long way.
What are some of the most important things you need to do as a quarterback in the offense? What do you have to do well?
Just manage the game. Manage the game, like I said, manage the game, and that's really all the quarterback needs to do in this offense. And, you know, we're going to have a good shot to win each day.
Now that spring ball is over, what's next? What are you working on between now and training camp?
Right now we're just going to focus on academics. So, we're getting down here to the end here. I'm graduating in May, so I'm looking forward to that. But like I said, we have a long summer ahead of us, and we're looking forward to it.
Finally, had a lot of fans out there today. How'd it feel to get out on the field and show the fans what you've been working on at practice?
It was great to get out there today and just give them a taste of what our offense is going to look like in the fall. Obviously, it's nowhere near what we showed you today. We only showed you like maybe 4 or 5 different pass plays we ran. But like I said, I was just out here having a good time and giving them a show.
Certainly did that. And finally, Matt Stankavage, you won the Worrell Award. His thoughts on the offensive line.
We made a lot of progress throughout the whole spring ball. But the thing is, so I was just telling the guys in there in the locker room, we're not there yet. We have to keep working. And, next workout that we have in the summer, we're going to have to keep working to get better.
How good did it feel to get out there in front of the fans and show the fans what you've been working on to practice a little bit?
Oh, it's always great to get in front of the fans because, it kind of gets boring sometimes. Football is all about practice. You practice and you only play about 13 games. And, spring ball and this blue and white game is one of those chances that we could prove that what we got.
Shamokin Dam Orchestra jumping in there on us. That means we're headed to the top of the hour. We'll then play back for you Bill O'Brien's full press conference from Saturday, give you a real feel as to what he thought. But first, CBS News and somebody who should be at CBS as far as I'm concerned, Sarah Bartlett, as we continue. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance on WKOK.